Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh, my friend, we have covered the likes of Sony having a bit of a wobble at the minute a few times across the last few weeks, but there has been an ex-Sony employee taking to Reddit to do an AMA and ask me anything, or everything, anything, probably the A part of the AMA.
Yeah, probably.
Saying ask me anything about working at Sony. Now, this has been verified by some mods on the forum, also verified by Colin Moriarty, ex-IGN staffer, dude who has his Sacred Symbols channel podcast and everything else, saying that a lot of the points made here does line up with what he's heard as well. So there seems to be enough verification in regards to what's revealed here. Now, the Sony employee does open, the main point of the post was to address a lot of the stuff around the Vita. It is over on the Vita Reddit itself. So there are some points about the Vita, but then there's some wider stuff about the way that Sony approaches video games in general, and it sort of hints at why they're so all over the place at the minute. One prevalent point being that the guy's name is literally just former Sony dude.
Yeah.
So it's going to be pretty easy to hunt down if they decide to get the big old cannons out. But one of the points is that he says that Sony as a company are very much like siloed off, and says that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, which is always a great way to run a business. But in regards to the Vita, some very quick points. There was a BioShock being made for Vita that was cancelled. One of the things to take away in regards to the proprietary memory cards that the Vita had, which was one of the most despised decisions, that the Vita had its own memory cards when it launched. That apparently came from the 2011 PlayStation hack that Sony, in a response to that, wanted to lock everything down. So that was why they had their custom memory cards.
Right.
And also the Vita in general was cast aside when Sony realized that people could hack the firmware. And they apparently had trophy support planned for it. But once they started realizing all the different data, the telemetry data, on the amount of people pirating games for the Vita, they abandoned that altogether and they just wanted to get rid of it. Because obviously you would be able to manufacture platinums and change all that data and everything else. So that's one of the major reasons why the Vita went away. In terms of big old quotes for Sony overall, though, this is in reference to why there's so much change going on right now. The guy says that PlayStation is historically a Japanese brand. In the time since PlayStation debuted, America has grown to be has become the largest video game market. There's been a lot of internal competition for the control of the PlayStation brand, and over the last several years, you can clearly see where America has been winning. Relocation of the HQ, shutdown of most of the Japanese studios, and the DualSense's X default confirm as a final FU are some of the notable examples off the top of his head. He says all of that took place above his level, think officers and the like. What's your initial thoughts on all of this? Because these are some big old quotes, left, right, and center.
Yeah, totally. I think all of this kind of like seems to confirm some of the other reports or some of the other theories that have been coming out of this entire Sony thing, not just over the past week or so since the Bloomberg report dropped, but like for the past year since they've been, you know, since there's been the rumblings of them moving away from a more international perspective and moving away from the more distinct local branches of Sony and moving to more kind of like one big hegemonic globalized international kind of like headquarters, I guess, or system that, you know, where it's like America centric and the Japanese stuff is kind of left in the dust a little bit. Like we said, you know, there's a bunch of great examples that they list there. We've had like the shutdown of the Japan studio. We've had a move away recently in the Bloomberg report from highlighting games that will only appeal to Japanese players. And yeah, again, I can only repeat what I said in like those videos where that sucks because you want like these unique flavors. You don't just want everything to be kind of like smoothed out and as mainstream focused as possible to get the widest possible reach. Because, you know, like they mentioned here, there is a huge heritage in what Sony has done previously.
Yeah.
And even if that's not making the most money in the entire world, doesn't mean it's not worth pursuing, because So much about why Sony and PlayStation specifically succeeds is because of its personality. You know, in the PlayStation 1 days and 2 days, like, those adverts they made were so against the grain and so interesting and weird that they helped endear people to that platform and position PlayStation as something different from Nintendo, you know? So I just worry a little bit if you kind of, like, ignore the Japanese side of the games and the creators, and you're trying to smooth out its all identity. Like, what's left? Are you even left with the PlayStation that everyone fell in love with? Are we just left with a kind of company and big cooperation that has no real distinct identity outside of its core franchises that's focusing on, like The Last of Us or Uncharted or Horizon or whatever?
Well, that's kind of the thing. I mean, obviously, we talked about this on the other video that we did. It's also on the podcast. Please go subscribe to the What Culture Gaming podcast.
Yes.
But that whole thing about, you know, brand identity and the face of a brand and how the Xbox brand and the Nintendo brands feel, where, you know, Xbox, you can point to Phil Spencer, Aaron Greenberg doing the tweets on Nintendo side. You've got Shigeru Miyamoto and Doug Bowser being appointed one of the heads of Nintendo. But on the Sony side, it's very much all just Jim Ryan. And he seems to be not necessarily making the best quotes in regards to the whole believing in generations and walking it back and then saying people don't care about old games. There's a little quote that lines up with that. It is worth throwing in here as well. This is a quote from Scrubs. But one of the someone asked, you know, why are Sony's why is Sony like this? And the dude's reply was in reference to the management that they are coded with the filling, which, you know, have fun editing that, Mr. James Stout. But you know, great way to refer to the management. Also, a wider comment on you know, the fact that Sony leaves so much legacy content on the table, so many old school franchises they don't bring back, or maybe, you know, things that are associated with the PS1 that don't come back. The guy says that, you know, from the internal side, certain IP has more value in a cultural sense than it does in a market sense. He says he knows it, as an example, it's not Sony, but look at Metroid as a comparison. That franchise is critical to the history of games, but it's sold 20 million copies throughout its life. The most recent Animal Crossing game outsold that entire franchise. And then says for Sony, Sony is a business and they care first and foremost about where their money is, not where the sentiment is. Which, you know, you can apply that to everything from Days Gone being canned to, I mean, any example of fan wish fulfillment not coming true. Also to throw in regards to the backwards compatibility stuff, he says the backwards compatibility is one of the most requested and least used features. Says that he doesn't know exactly what Jim Ryan has said, but about how little it was used, but that is true because of the from the numbers that they have. So that does sort of, I mean, that was always what Jim Ryan said, that people want this and they're not going to use it. But it's more just a general game preservation thing, that if we want to play an old game, you should have an access point to it. What's your thoughts on the certain IP has value in a cultural sense, but not a market sense?
Yeah, not like totally surprising. I think the writing has been on the wall for that over, you know, the past few weeks since that Bloomberg report came out, and they were talking about, you know, games like Gravity Rush not being a priority, but games like the future of The Last of Us, the future of Uncharted being the thing that Sony is focusing on because they're the biggest properties, they're the things that sell the most, they're what's going to bring in the most money overall. But yeah, you know, at the expense of taking a risk or even greenlighting things that will only be modest hits, I think that's a mistake. I think that is kind of, you're going to miss out on so much creativity and interesting ideas being tried in these games. You know, for me personally, I would love to see sequels to games that weren't smash successes or even critical successes, like The Order 1886. You know, people don't really like that game, and it was rightfully, you know, kicked when it first came out. But there's a lot of potential there. There are interesting ideas in there, and there is franchise potential. Same with Days Gone. You know, Days Gone, you know, it didn't receive a great critical reception. It didn't get 9 or 10s out of 10. But the fans, you know, really embraced it. Players embraced it despite its faults. And it acted as an interesting foundation and a promise of better things to come. You know, you need to build these things up. Nothing or very few games are going to come out with the same impact that Uncharted did, with the same impact that The Last of Us did, with the same impact that Horizon Zero Dawn did. You know, like, those are anomalies. And Sony is just kind of like gunning for that stuff at the expense of everything else. And that does make me worried about what we're potentially missing out on. Because I want to, again, stress, I love all of those games that I've just mentioned. And I also love the studios. But that's not the diet that I want to live off exclusively. You know, I want to try other things. I want to incorporate other types of games from Sony, who, you know, historically has always been, more so than some of the competition, willing to take a risk on these things and willing to diversify their portfolio and their libraries and let their developers do new and interesting things, and to potentially veer away from that and focus on only a handful of core brands. Again, I can only see that as a mistake from a consumer perspective, not necessarily from a business perspective.
Well, the thing that stands out is, like, obviously he mentions Metroid as a comparison. Like, you think of Nintendo, the amount of mistakes that Nintendo make in regards to just technology access points in general, like the whole limited access window to Mario's 35th collection or whatever. That whole thing, though, of a brand or an IP, a franchise, whatever, having cultural value, so we'll do it anyway because it looks good, it feels good, we should have this game, you know, on shelves. Metroid's a perfect example of that because they restarted the development on Prime 4 and give it to a whole other studio just because it's Nintendo, you should have a Metroid. And obviously, like, you know, on the Microsoft side, there's a lot of sunken money gone into Halo to just make sure Halo Infinite comes out. And on the Sony side, right now, you know, if they're pursuing this whole, you know, if they're discarding cultural value or anything in regards to non-monetary value, you know, like those sort of franchises that just should be up there. The Sony right now doesn't feel like they would greenlight a project or continue a project. I mean, they just cancelled Days Gone 2. So obviously there's a, you know, girth of difference between the cultural impact of Days Gone versus Metroid. But if they're chasing all this number focus stuff, that's always where everything goes wrong. That's always where every major company puts a foot wrong. And even Xbox did that at the start of the last generation. So it's like, I don't know, this for me, I think it's like illuminating, getting someone from the inside just saying, like, yeah, they are, you know, thinking along the same lines on the lower rungs of the Sony employment ladder that we are as outsiders as well. So yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below of everything that's been sort of revealed or confirmed or whatever within this report. And let us know what you think. For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.